Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, we're so excited to do this morning. It's one of my favorite comedians, and we're excited for him to come to town on Friday, September 20th at the Masonic Temple. A great room, especially for someone like Bert with all his energy. We welcome the machine, Bert Kreischer, to the hotline. How are you, Bert?
I absolutely cannot wait to come back. I'm telling you. I'll be drinking then, too. It's right before Sober October.
You got to get it out of the way. I know that you make a big deal out of Sober October every year, and me and my buddies have actually talked about doing something like this. And every time it comes down to there's no chance during October because we have Browns football games. In the past, we've had, you know, the NBA season getting underway, baseball playoffs potentially. There's too many events, too much drinking. How in the world do you pull this off in October?
It's kind of, you know, it's kind of crazy. It's like it's almost because everyone's drinking, it's almost like you're drinking by yourself because you're sober by yourself. So it's almost like taking mushrooms and not telling anyone about it. Like I go to the Rams games and don't drink at the Rams games in October, and it is surreal. I mean, I wish that we could green light marijuana during this month, but I guess that's Joe's crutch, so we can't, because being high would be great. But yeah, I don't know. I think it gives my liver a rest for a month too, so that it green lights me for drinking for the entire year.
How much weight, and you brought up Joe Rogan and Tom Segura and a bunch of you guys get together and do this. How much weight did you lose last time? Because you're notorious for taking off your shirt at every show. Your fans love it. They take off their shirts at the end of the shows. And then Bert Kreischer comes by, and all of a sudden you're, like, very skinny comparatively to what you normally are. How much weight did you lose last year?
Last year I lost 25 pounds in October.
25.
Oh my God.
But I'm still obese. I was still 220. Like, that's still fat. I'm just happen to be a lot fatter when I'm drinking.
I was telling Ken, you got to see this in person because you've got to be the only guy that everybody, the fans, they want to somehow revel in being half naked. Like, they have no shame this one day a year after when they do the meet and greets with you. It's surreal. They even have you, like, sign different portions of their flab. What is that like? And it seems like it never gets old for you.
It's so funny because I don't see myself as fat. You know when, like, people, you know when, like, Bruce Jenner came out and he was like, I identify as a woman, and then we all recognize him as Caitlyn. I identify as an XL, but everyone sees me as a double XL. So when I see guys take their shirts off, I'm always like, wow, that guy's fat. And then I look at him next, I look at the picture on Facebook, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm fatter than he is. I feel like I'm doing it as a woke culture promoting anti-body shaming for cisgendered white males.
Well, we appreciate that. So speaking for everybody, I can tell in one statement, Bert Kreischer joined us on the hotline. So is there ever going to come a day where you do not take your shirt off the minute you get on stage? Because it's become your thing. It's how people identify with Bert Kreischer. Is there ever a day where you're like, you know what, I've done it. I've done all of that. It's time to move on to the next phase of Bert Kreischer's career.
No, you know what's so funny is I do it now because I'm more comfortable shirtless. Like, I'm not comfortable with shirt on a stage. It makes me really uncomfortable because you start sweating and then all of a sudden people see sweat in your shirt and then they go, uh-oh, he's sweating. So when you're shirtless, the sweat just drips down your arm onto the ground and you're like, eh, that's it. I'm shirtless. Where else was it going to go? So, yeah, I think it's so funny. After I did my second special shirtless, Segura called me laughing hysterically. He's like, you know, you're going to be doing comedy until you're 55, 60 probably. And I can't wait till we do a show together when you're 60 and you go out on stage and you have to take your shirt off at 60 years old.
Okay. You take your shirt off. You take your shirt off on stage. Do you keep your shirt on in the pool?
No, Segura does, though. He's got those breasts that lost their integrity, so they collapsed out to the side, so when he takes his shirt off, it looks like a car driving down the street with his doors open. So he has to wear a shirt in the pool, which is hilarious.
All right, because Lima one day, at just this was last week, he just said out of nowhere, he's like, and also Ken wears the shirt in the pool. And I don't wear a shirt in the pool because it would draw even more attention to the fat. And I had a bunch of people getting in going, yeah, I'll wear a shirt right up until the time I jump in, and then it comes off, and you jump in, you do that, like, chin above the water thing, and then the second you get out, it goes right back on. Like, has there ever been any sort of a hurry for you where you kind of don't want to get caught being fat or something like that, Bert?
Oh, no. I prefer, honestly, to swim in a Speedo. So, like... I am that European tourist walking around the beach, and my daughters are not cool with it. Like, if I go to the ocean, I'm wearing a Speedo because I'm like a dolphin in the water, just like squ, squ. Like, why wouldn't I want to be agile? If you swim in a Speedo, you'll never swim in anything else. You're like, why would I wear pants in the water? I'm telling you, it's and what's crazy is I worked for Travel Channel for 9 years, and they would not greenlight me shirtless. They're like, it's disgusting. And so I had to wear a shirt on Travel Channel when I was in the water, and then I'd get on stage and be shirtless. It was like the most ironic thing ever.
So you'd be in the water. They were like, you can't wear a shirt. You have to wear a shirt in the pool or in the water?
If I was on Travel Channel in water, I had to have a shirt on.
Did you ever get comments or anywhere you were like, why are you wearing a shirt?
Everyone was like, bro, I just saw you perform to 1,000 people shirtless, but you're on TV in a shirt? Like, it made no sense, but they were like, they were a very Christian company. And so they were like, okay. They were like, you know, just, it's not a good look. A man shirtless is not a good look unless you are completely ripped. And I was like, I guess that explains Jesus.
That's not Christian. That's kind of sexist. Yeah. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Try telling an obese woman she can't wear a bikini on television. Try.
Oh,
see how quick you get sued.
Oh, my God. That's true.
There's obviously some double standards. You got caught up in one of these stories. Your friend Whitney Cummings, who came on your pod in the past, and she talked about something. She tried to get extorted for money, and then you had fun because of that on social media. I don't know how much of this we can air, which is crazy in and of itself since it ended up going out on social media. But can you explain what happened there?
Yeah, she had accidentally posted a picture of her bare breast with her nipple, and some guys tried to extort her for like 10 grand, 20 grand to not post the picture because she had deleted it immediately, and they screen grabbed it, and they're like, 20 grand, we have access to your library, and started threatening her, and so she's just like, I'll post it. And then I felt bad for her, and I was like, I had this picture of my... I had fallen on a slide in Jersey, and I had, like, ruptured my testicle. And so I had a picture of my ice-cold testicles, completely shriveled, with this huge lump on them. It looked like a baby elephant. And I posted that in solidarity with Whitney, not realizing the second I posted it that I'm breaking all the Me Too rules. Like, the second I posted it, I was like, I think this is what Me Too's about.
All right, Louis C.K., welcome to the show.
Oh,
yeah,
my
I just technically
God.
Sent a picture of my junk to Whitney Cummings and then CC'd the world on it. Like, hey, guys, this is what I do to my friend. But what's crazy, the funniest part of all of it, is I used the hashtag #IStandWithWhitney and unaware that it was Whitney Houston's birthday that day.
No.
Hundreds of thousands of black women clicked on the hashtag because it started trending, and the first thing they saw were my testicles. Maybe the last thing they wanted to see, but the first thing they got. And not a good-looking testicle. Please Google it. Just click on I Stand With Whitney on Twitter, and you will see it. It is rough. Like,
no, I saw it. Yeah. I saw it. It wasn't that bad. I mean, this is going to have to go on the podcast part of it. It wasn't that bad, Bert. I mean, it wasn't the best set I've ever seen, but it certainly wasn't that bad.
They weren't representative of me as a person.
Well, now wait. Obviously, your wife doesn't have a problem with this at some point, and she is very supportive of your career. But you know your daughters, they're checking in on you. They even though they know better not to, they've got to be checking in on you. And you know the guys in their school, the boys in their school, are bringing this to the attention, even if they want to avoid it.
Oh, my oldest daughter came, apparently when she got to school, someone's like, hey, did you see your dad's balls? And she was like, what? And they're like, check this out. And she was like, oh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's hard having kids and then being big on social media. Like, I like doing social media, and I've posted many pictures of myself naked online. Like, many. I got shadow banned on Twitter because I posted a legit picture of my junk on accident.
It's basically you and Alex Jones. You're the two guys that get banned.
Yeah. Me, Alex Jones. I did a show at a comedy store one time, and I get done. I walk into the green room, and someone's like, "Hey, Bert, you ever going to have Alex Jones on your podcast?" And I was like, no way. And I turn around, it's Alex Jones asking
that. Oh, my God. Was he a nice guy to you?
No, he was friends with Rogan and all those guys. I'm like, I'm never going to have Alex Jones on my podcast because I'm not confrontational, so I can't, like, question what he says. I'll just agree and giggle. And I guess that is, like, I don't know. That is the seed of outrage culture, is not challenging someone to their horrific opinions. So I'm like, I'm the wrong guy to have you on my podcast. Yeah. Go do Rogan or do someone like that.
You end up agreeing and giggling with that guy. It's going to be just, Twitter's just going to turn into hell on earth for you. Bert Kreischer joining us on the show. Do you ever get tired of telling the machine story?
Nah. I mean, trust me. I did comedy for probably 17 years without anyone like caring at all. Yeah. And then the machine story goes viral and people want to hear it. Dude, if there's a story people want to hear, I am more than happy to tell it. Like, I am just grateful that anyone comes to my shows. So like, I mean, so many people are discovering it in that every year my ticket counts have gone up and doubled. Like, literally every year. So you're like, there's new people coming to the show that have never heard it. And there's markets you've gone to that you've never been to before. And so you're like, well, you know, I can't, what do I think I am? Like, I'm not Richard Pryor. I'm not George Carlin. I'm a guy who's a very good comedian who got very lucky with a good story. And I will ride that to the bank until the day I die. And I'm shirtless at 60, taking my shirt off, going, when I was 22, I got involved with the Russian mafia. Here's how it happened.
Well, there is a double standard, right? Because in comedy, it's now taboo because of all the great comics that came up to, like, repeat everything. Guys like Rogan, guys like David Tell, they remove their entire hour. And yet in music, you go up and you sing the same songs for 30 years, and people seem to adore that. Why do you think you can't do that according to the unwritten rules in comedy?
Well, it's interesting in that when I go on the road, I bring a new hour everywhere I go. So I always have a new hour because I'm getting ready for my next special. My next special I'm shooting November 23rd. So I have a new hour, but I always do over an hour and tell whatever stories people want to hear at the end, because jokes are different than stories. Like, jokes are premised on a surprise, whereas a story is kind of like, it's more about the cadence and the rhythm and the jokes within the story. And the jokes within the story can always change and get upgraded, and the story can always go in different directions. So I would argue that you don't have a problem hearing a story twice. But jokes, once you know the punchline to a joke, it's kind of over. You're like, oh, I know where he's going with that. You know?
Yeah.
All right. I want to ask you this. Is Bert Kreischer, I know we only got about a minute left. Masonic Temple, Friday, September 20th. And let me tell you, nobody hangs out with the fans like Bert Kreischer after a show. So if you need any more incentive to go. You watched the UFC this week. Stipe Miocic from Cleveland, he dropped Daniel Cormier after he lost the first three rounds. I know you're a big MMA guy. Were you surprised by that? And would you want to see Stipe become like this huge star in the UFC? Because it seems like they've never really promoted him like that big star.
It stinks to see the way that, I mean, obviously, you know, I feel like I know a lot about UFC without knowing much, but it stinks the way that you see guys like Colby Covington having to turn into a heel just to get recognized. Because his style of fighting isn't maybe flashy enough, or he didn't talk enough trash up front. I love a great fighter, a competent fighter. I love to see them explode, you know? And it's even the same as, like, Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz, as interesting and as flashy as he could be in the ring, for whatever reason, they didn't find him to be marketable, which I found crazy because I loved watching that guy. But people saw Conor being more marketable. Dude, I would love to see Stipe go huge without having to, like, sell his soul to do it, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't seem like the guy that would do that. He's basically a part-time firefighter still. One last thing, Baker Mayfield, he's basically on all the magazine covers. He's talking trash about other teams' rookie quarterbacks now. Do we need more of that in sports rather than less?
By the way, I'm such a hypocrite because hell yes. See, I love trash talking when it's not expected, when it's not approved. Like when you see an NFL quarterback talk trash, I go, yes, because you know everyone's losing their mind that he's doing it. When you see someone do it in like professional, like in MMA, and you see that is the way to make money, as opposed to the way Chael Sonnen did it back in the day when you did not expect it, it is. I love it when it's unexpected. I love anything unexpected. And, bro, I'm a huge Baker Mayfield fan.
Awesome, man. Fans are going to be loving that. Absolutely. Bert with an E, BertBertBert.com to get those tickets. Friday, September 20th. It's one of your best markets. People in Cleveland love you. Can't wait to see you. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you, guys. I will talk to you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.